May it please the court. This case is unusual in that the court has before it now several different disciplinary matters regarding attorney Brad Enmert. Had the parties taken no action in trying to find a disposition of these multiple matters, it could potentially have left Mr. Enmert indefinitely suspended. And that seemed disproportionate to the offenses that we were looking at. At the same time, Mr. Enmert has conceded that he violated multiple rules of professional conduct, and those violations warranted a disciplinary sanction as well. In an attempt to propose a disposition of these multiple matters, the parties entered into a joint stipulation regarding complaints that were before the Office of Chief Disciplinary Counsel. It was taken before a disciplinary hearing panel, and the DHP adopted the findings or the proposal of the joint stipulation and recommended that Mr. Enmert be placed on 2-year probation with terms pending his reinstatement into the practice.
Now, what I know we allow for that kind of a disposition. What's the penalty for violating the probation?
Well, it can be several things. It could be the revocation of the probation or
an extension. And then that puts in place what?
I'm sorry?
And what's that put in place? If there's no state suspension or something, what happens if you revoke the probation?
That is an unaddressed issue by the rules right now because the rules provide for probation, but in that
Well, don't they provide that you can say that violation of the probation is itself a violation, which then you can bring
correct.
An information out and this court can determine
correct.
The appropriate sanction?
That is
sanction.
Absolutely correct.
But that's a new charge then, it being another disciplinary charge.
That would be in the face of Mr. Emmer not complying with his probation.
Because usually probation would be you plead guilty and you get 6 months probation, you get a sentence and then probation, and if you violate probation, you get the sentence. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like you got to follow the rules or else you're going to get something happen to you. In this case, violate the rules, something happened to you would be another charge.
Correct. And that is what the rules provide for at this time.
Yes,
for instance, it's comparable to if you refuse to cooperate with the OCDC when they try to inquire into some other charge, that in itself is an additional charge
yes.
which they can then bring.
That is absolutely correct.
Why would a state suspension not be appropriate here?
I don't know that it would not be appropriate in this case. There are different avenues that the parties could have proposed and that the court can certainly adopt. Mr. Enmert has a litany now of issues that have to be addressed, and he is currently suspended.
He's now tax suspended?
He is tax suspended right now, yes.
And so you're saying that upon reinstatement, we should put him on probation?
Correct.
But we don't know when the reinstatement will occur.
That is absolutely right. I believe that Mr. Enmert has said that it is his intention to apply for reinstatement, and he did apply for reinstatement shortly after he was tax suspended. But because we had these underlying complaints that had to be investigated, the OCDC asked for leave to file a recommendation and report on his reinstatement. Those cases had to be investigated, and in the interim, he defaulted on his repayment agreement with the Department of Revenue, and pending that,
hasn't paid his taxes.
No, not to my knowledge.
During the whole proceedings, it's irrelevant as far as the other violations, but paying his taxes, he hasn't paid his taxes.
I know he paid them for a period.
Litigation regarding that or something, I don't know.
I don't know. And Mr. Enmert understands, based on what happened in his first reinstatement filing, that a current repayment agreement where he is making payments with the Department of Revenue is a predicate for his reinstatement.
So he's been in practice since 1986. Do you feel the public will be protected by this? There's been serial violations of the rules. You really believe that the public will be protected? A new client, would you recommend a client to go to him to represent him?
That's part of why we have recommended that he be on probation for a period of 2 years, which is an extended period, because in looking at the violations themselves had more to do with communication than anything.
So how do you police the probation?
You say communication, but continuing to practice law after you've been suspended seems like more than just communication.
I'm not aware that he was practicing after he had been suspended.
These were violations before he got suspended.
These were violations where he had a client base, he was tax suspended, and he failed to notify them that he was suspended or take any other action as far as 527 requires of him in terms of returning his files.
Then how come you can suggest that he wasn't continuing to represent them?
Well, he did fail to withdraw from the representation, absolutely. Well,
what's the difference? Explain to me what the difference is. If you don't tell anybody you're suspended and you continue to represent them, why isn't that the unauthorized practice of law?
Presumably it could be. I don't believe that there was any pending litigation as far as that was concerned.
The information did not charge that, so that's not something
correct,
we can
consider, and that is correct.
Because it wasn't brought as a charge.
Yes.
Well, under our graduated system of discipline, in light of the fact that he's had admonitions and reprimands, that why wouldn't the next level discipline be a stayed suspension with probation upon his compliance with his tax obligations?
It absolutely could be, and the informant would not be opposed to that. In looking at what happened here, the reprimand has not yet been issued, so he does not have a reprimand on him.
But you stipulated to less than that.
To less than a reprimand?
No, state suspension. You stipulated
yes.
probation.
Yes.
Why
because,
did
like
you
I
do
said,
so?
In looking at the circumstances as a whole, the reprimand has not yet been issued, so his disciplinary history consists of admonitions. He was tax suspended, and in some circumstances, that is an automatic, upon reinstatement in the time period that he reapplied for reinstatement for, that's automatic. It was not in that case. Because we received these other complaints that happened as a result of his tax, after his tax suspension from his non-communication with his clients, it resulted in his suspension being a lot lengthier than I think he anticipated or was attempting to try to address.
So how does this probation work? Do you actually review his cases to see if he's done something wrong or communicated with his clients? If it's just the tip of the iceberg that people screwed up the courage to file a complaint and get to you, what about the rest of his cases? And also, do you rely on another person filing a complaint in order to deal with his probation, or do you actually review and monitor his caseload?
Our office would not review and monitor his caseload, but in looking at the terms of probation, working with a mentor or somebody that is helping him reestablish his practice and put into practice good practice ideas, that is a term of that probation. They file reports with our office in terms of their compliance, and part of the probationary terms are that the respondent understands if we are to receive additional complaints, it is not an automatic revocation of that probation, but it is something that will be investigated and could result in the revocation of that probation.
And this case presents sort of the quandary in if someone's tax suspended or suspended for some other reason, if you wait till they take care of that and come back in, then the claims are very stale, the facts are stale.
Correct.
The evidence, if you do it while they're suspended, then do you reprimand someone on suspension? Do you hold it in abeyance and impose it later on?
Correct. And that is why I refer to this as a proposed disposition. I mean, not that every disposition isn't a proposal, but in this particular case, there were just a number of issues that had to be addressed, and the parties looked at what needed to transpire in order. I don't believe the OCDC.
It's not a proposal. You stipulated to the disposition.
We stipulated to the facts of the misconduct as it pertained to the four client complaints, and that should result in probation.
But it's proposed in that right now he's tax suspended.
Correct.
So it would take effect upon his reinstatement.
Correct.
Following the tax suspension.
Correct.
Any
unless the court has any other questions, I feel like we've addressed all of the issues that are in front of us right now. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. Mr. Emmert was tax suspended in January of 2011. He did not, for most of his cases, he transferred them properly to another law firm and took care of them as he should have. There were a handful of cases that he considered to be really very poor cases in which he really should have withdrawn probably previously, that he wasn't able to transfer, and because, as the record establishes, he had been going through a lot of personal problems he over the previous couple of years.
What kind of personal problems?
His mother died of cancer. He went through a very contentious divorce. His house was foreclosed upon. And he was having these tax issues that of course, you know, he didn't anticipate.
You have any drugs or alcohol issues, anything like that?
No, but clearly the other problems led to some mood problems, situational depression, perhaps. I don't know. I can't diagnose that. But
you didn't see a doctor for that?
He did. He has extensively used the Missouri Lawyers Assistance Program at various points in time. I could not tell you exact dates of when that occurred, but he has availed himself of that. But
you're not invoking any of the mitigating rules we have in
well, there is a mitigation factor of personal problems. We're not saying mental health problems, but we are saying the mitigating.
That's very specific to certain types of disorders, but you're saying the mitigating factor of.
There is a mitigating factor specifically that says personal problems, and we do believe that that one applies in this situation. Shortly after his tax suspension, of course, like I said, he got most of his cases transferred. He had this handful he didn't handle properly.
Did he even send them the letter within 15 days notifying them these handful of cases that he had been suspended?
These four clients, I do not believe he did, no.
But he did send it to all his other clients?
I would presume that
so
that
far,
happened.
So far as the record shows,
I presume that happened in conjunction with the other firm taking over the cases that they received that notification.
I thought there was evidence that he sent it out to everybody else, but these ones he thought weren't going anywhere, and so he didn't send it, just a small number.
I don't believe there's any thing specific in the record about the letter that's required once you're suspended. But what's in the
he
record?
He handed over the cases.
Right.
Okay, that's
exactly
what I'm thinking of.
And obviously, when he hands over the cases, the clients get notified of the handover by the new firm and by him. And I think it was inherent in that process. So, but I don't have anything specific about that particular letter. Within a couple of months, he had reached an agreement with the Department of Revenue. He paid $20,000 down and had an agreement to pay approximately $1,700 a month. At that time, then he applied for reinstatement, which is the normal process. Because of these four cases where he did not handle, five maybe at the time, but one was closed with no action by OCDC, that he did not handle properly after he was suspended, the reinstatement process was put on hold from March of 2000.
But he pays taxes. I mean, the question was.
Well, he was paying under his agreement with the Department of Revenue at that time. He paid the $20,000, and then he was paying. He made his payments for a year, approximately, after he applied for reinstatement.
How much did he owe?
I'm sorry?
How much did he owe?
I'm sorry.
How much money did he owe that he was paying off?
I'm sorry. I would be guessing at that figure. I don't want to. I can tell you
so
right now.
So $1,700 for the rest of his life?
I think he was going to have to pay for a few years, two or three years, $1,700 a month. Right
did he
now.
Did he stop paying that then?
Well, eventually, because you know, after he applied for reinstatement in March of 2011. These complaints delayed the reinstatement process until 2013.
I'm not talking about the reinstatement. I'm talking about his paying taxes.
And what I'm saying is he kept paying during most of that time. But because he was not, when he entered into the agreement to pay $1,700 a month, he anticipated that it would only be a few months before he would be reinstated and able to earn a living again and keep paying those tax payments. Because it went on for 2 years instead of a few months, during that period of time, he became unable to continue to make his monthly payments.
And if he's still unable now?
Right now, he believes that if he has certainty with regard to being able to be reinstated once he's paid his taxes, so that, you know, the tax issues would be resolved and he could apply for reinstatement from the tax suspension, and if he knew that what the consequences would be from these few cases, that he'd be able to start practicing again but be on probation, he believes he would be able to borrow money in order to pay off the Department of Revenue. And in fact, if this court would approve what we have submitted and do so quickly, there's a tax amnesty period going on right now so that it would substantially reduce the amount he would have to borrow, which increases the chances he would be able to borrow the amount of money needed.
No penalties if you pay now?
Right now, the amnesty is that I believe interest and penalties, or at least penalties, are being waived. And I believe that period ends on November 30th. So if he had a decision from this court and then was able to borrow money before that time, that would substantially increase his chances of being able to get that accomplished. And he has in fact, he is so hopeful and certain of that, he has already signed up to take the MPRE in November. So, he is taking steps towards a hopeful ability to be reinstated. The essence here of what I'd like you to consider is that from the period when he was really eligible for tax reinstatement, which is really July of 2011, because at that point he no longer had to take the MPRE because it was a short time suspension, until now, really, he's been suspended really because of these four complaints. And so you're talking about, shouldn't we do a SAID suspension? I'm sure that he would have, if that's what it takes, I'm sure he'd be agreeable to that. But in essence, he's been suspended for, almost a couple of years because of these four complaints that are not normally the kinds of things this court would suspend people for, and certainly not for that period of time.
You're doing an excellent job with a very difficult case of bringing this person's life in order. What about the conditions? Are the conditions for financial management, reconciling his bank account, are they fair or draconian, or would you reflect on that? We don't necessarily see them when we get here. How are the conditions he would have to comply with, as far as you're concerned?
Well, the conditions were negotiated over a period of time between myself and OCDC, although I would say the conditions were not as much negotiated as the facts, because OCDC's original view of the facts was just very contrary to Mr. Emmert's view, and so we ultimately got that to an agreement. The probation is largely the way that OCDC initially proposed it. One additional term that is in this probation that is a little bit unusual is that he continue to make his payments, if any are pending, to the Department of Revenue. I don't anticipate that he thinks he's going to be on a payment plan with them. I think he anticipates that he's going to, pay them the lump sum of whatever is due. But in the event that he would be able to work out a new payment plan with them, it would call for that. If there are other conditions that the court believes would be necessary or appropriate.
Have they organized his trust account so he does that correctly?
There isn't anything specific about his trust account in the probation. None of his problems in the past, as far as I'm aware, have had to do with his trust account.
86 to 2011, he didn't have any disciplinary history.
That's correct. He had some admonitions in the past, which is why that one case was bumped up to a reprimand type level, although it might perhaps have been, I mean, that's speculation, whether it would have been an admonition in the absence of any disciplinary history. But we've got that one case, and then we've got these other cases that came
so
in.
So from 86 to 11, did he have any admonitions?
I'm sorry, I would have to go
from
back.
From 86 to 2011.
I would have to look at the dates of the admonitions that he had had. I don't know those dates off the top of my head.
The record will show us that.
I'm sorry?
The record will show us.
Yes. They are in the record. The admonitions themselves that he had received previously are a part of the record that was filed with this court by OCDC.
In your view, do the rules permit a term of suspension for somebody who's already currently suspended?
I'm not sure how that would work. I think the rules would allow you to impose a reprimand on someone who's suspended.
But you're requesting that we do probation after he's reinstated and a state suspension after reinstatement, or?
Well, what we proposed was,
if we were to do that, is that how it would work?
What we had proposed was just a probation after he was suspended. The rules do allow for a probation without a state suspension in all cases, in disciplinary cases and in reinstatement cases.
My question is a little different, though. I'm not sure that you got an opportunity to answer it. Do the rules permit the imposition of a suspension for somebody who's already suspended?
And again, I'm not sure how that would work, but if you were going to say you are reinstated with a state suspension and probation, I think that could happen. The idea being that if the probation were revoked, that the suspension could be imposed at that point. Right now, if you just entered an order of suspension on him for these cases, I guess it would just be a sort of a concurrent suspension with the tax suspension.
If he paid his taxes, he'd be off suspension.
Well, that's what we would hope, but he had done that at one point, but it was delayed because of these complaints. So that's what we're looking for, is certainty that if he pays his taxes, he'll get reinstated on probation on whatever terms the court thinks are appropriate, but that he'll be reinstated so that he can, in fact, you know, get somebody to loan him his money, he can pay his taxes, he could then pay that person back because obviously, you know, they're not going to give him the money, and then he can go on and return to being a productive member of the bar. So with that, what we would request is that the court approve the proposal that has been submitted by stipulation by the parties and agreed to by the disciplinary hearing panel, that would give some certainty to the resolution of these pending complaints, including addressing the reprimand in the other matter, which he had a technical mess up. He attended the CLE, but he didn't let this court know that he'd done it, although OCDC was there and knew he had. So we would hope that you would resolve all of those.
Do they have attendance sheets at these seminars?
At the ethics school, yes, they do. The webinars, they get an attendance list of who was on the webinar. They can tell certain activity levels. And then there's an in-person session that is really basically put on by OCDC where, yes, they definitely take attendance and pay attention to what people are doing at that. He did all of that. As required by the reprimand. The order said he was supposed to notify the court. He missed that. He knew OCDC knew. He made a mistake. He messed up. But I think the reprimand would be appropriate go ahead and be issued. And then, or just combine that in and put him on probation for that case along with these other cases. But we would ask that the court give him some certainty and hopefully give it to him soon enough that he would be able to borrow the money during the tax amnesty period and get back on track. Thank you.
And let me ask you hypothetically, if you were the bar examiner and you saw all this record of activity, would you admit this person to the bar?
That's a difficult question to answer because his misconduct occurred during the time that he was representing clients. So are you
talking
about...
No, I'm just saying if this is someone who you never saw before and he's going through character and fitness for the bar, to be in the bar, would you admit this person if you saw all this activity?
What I can tell you is that we, in looking at the mitigating factors in this case, as well as the aggregating factors, what we saw was that Mr. Emmert was cooperative with our investigations. What we saw that was that he was willing to take the steps necessary to try to remedy what had transpired and to try to get back into the practice of law.
With rare exception, I think almost anyone that comes here with a bar a discipline has a lot of reasons, mm-hmm. personal problems. There are very few people that come here that are very happy-go-lucky, like life has been good to them and all is good. They all have reasons why, personal reasons that occur, whether before they commit the violations or after, that are very sympathetic and very difficult. And no one's come here and said, I just won the lottery and life is good.
Right.
They all have problems.
Absolutely. And I think that's why it doesn't negate the misconduct at all. It's just a factor in determining sanctioning the personal problems that Mr. Emmert or that any attorney has. The OCDC has made no assurances in terms of what recommendation we would make upon Mr. Emmert's reinstatement application. I think...
Well, that defeats her argument that what
yes.
he wants... What Mr. Emmert wants is an indication from the court that if he pays his taxes and he passes his test and he applies for reinstatement, that he will be allowed to be reinstated whether on probation or suspended with the suspension stated on probation, but readmitted.
Correct.
So,
and I think he's probably basing that supposition on his past having applied for reinstatement and what that procedure consisted of. And I'm not saying that it's any different today, but what I am saying is he will have to go through the reinstatement process just as any other applicant would, and no assurances has been made to him that he will be reinstated.
But what he's indicating is that if a lender may feel if he has this pending discipline against him for which he could be actually suspended, he's not going to be a very good bet to pay back. Mm-hmm. And if they're aware of what the discipline would be for the conduct in question now, that may affect the lender's decision as to whether or not to lend, I presume. That appears to be what the argument was.
I have no idea who he intends to borrow money from. I don't know what that would entail. What I can say is that I think all of the parties recognize that this was conduct that Mr. Emmert brought on himself, and that but for this conduct, we wouldn't be in this situation. Nevertheless, a disbarment or an extended suspension is an extraordinary remedy that is not warranted in this case. Thank you.
Case will be submitted.